You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. Today, we're speaking with our two candidates for mayor of Sacramento. Joining us in the studio is Assemblymember Kevin McCarty, who served on the Sacramento City Council for 10 years, starting in 2004, and has represented Sacramento in the State Assembly since 2014. Assemblymember McCarty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with your elevator pitch. Why mayor? Why now? And what do you view as a fundamental difference between you and your opponent?
Well, first of all, I love Sacramento. It's an amazing city. I've been here my whole life. I moved here when I was two, so I consider myself a lifelong Sacramento. And I, teenage girls, we're raising them here in Sacramento. They walk home from school, and so safety for them today and tomorrow is paramount. And, you know, I want to focus on the future of Sacramento and building it for the next generation. And I know that I have the skill set to step in and lead on day one. It's a tough job. You need to be able to know what you're getting yourself into, know the current system of the city. I've, you know, been a council member, been a city commissioner, been an assembly member. So I've worked with people to solve problems. And I see people in the community all the time, and they come up to me and they're like, McCarty, you're my this or that. And sometimes they get the title wrong. Sometimes they call me McCarthy. And so they have problems. And no matter what the title is, it's about solving those problems. And I know I'm good at that. And I know that I can work with others to help deliver on the issues of the day, whether they're housing and homelessness and public safety, growing our economy, balancing our budget. There are big issues. It's a big responsibility. And I know that I have what it takes to succeed.
And a fundamental difference between you and your opponent?
You know, she's a great individual stepping up in serving Sacramento, serving on different capacities, just being able to lead on day one, being able somebody who has support from our county board of supervisors, from other council members, from our legislative delegation, from our congressional members, because you can't do it alone. You can't do this alone. You have to work in a team. So I know what it takes to be effective. I think there are some policy differences. I'm sure you'll ask some questions in a little bit. But I think experience and being having tangible results that I have delivered resonates with the people of Sacramento, because they want somebody at the end of the day when they vote for somebody, they want somebody who's going to be effective to tackling the issues.
Let's talk about your upbringing and early career. You said in the Tahoe Park debate that you grew up in a chaotic household, but ultimately entered political life, campaigned and won a seat on the Sacramento City Council, and then ascended to the State Assembly. What was that adversity that you experienced at a young age, and what initially drove you into politics?
Well, I grew up here in Sacramento in a single-parent family. My mom, four kids, and went to school and worked for 8 years. So essentially, she was gone. So my older sister kind of raised us and took care of us. And, you know, we got in a little bit of trouble. And most of my siblings, we all figured it out. We did benefit from government programs. And so I know how governments can help families. After-school programs, subsidized opportunities for my mom to go to college, child care programs, that really helped us. I wasn't a stellar student. I played sports here, you know, here growing up. I actually ended up flunking out of high school, and I have to go to adult school. And that was kind of the epiphany upon me, like, hey, you know, I need to do something different with my life. And so I dedicated my career in public service, and a couple years later got an internship at the state capitol and just loved having the chance to craft public policy, make a difference. I worked as a budget analyst in the legislature for 10 years, overseeing higher education policy. So I always liked being able to impact people's lives, and that's what got me in this career. And I know that I have much more that I can do.
Let's talk about homelessness. You've talked about Cal Expo as a viable site for a homeless services center. This has been a proposal for years and hasn't come to fruition. You've served Sacramento as a state lawmaker for a decade now, a period also marked by record numbers of people experiencing homelessness. What confidence should voters have that you can actually secure these sites that you've talked about and alleviate this crisis in the city?
Well, homelessness is an issue that I look at about it. When I was on the city council, we never talked about this. There was zero money in the city budget for responding to homelessness. Now we spend about $25 million a year. When I went to town halls as a council member, this never came up. So this has exploded in Sacramento and cities across our nation. So we need to have all hands on deck solutions. We need to look for places where people can go. I don't support urban camping. We need to enforce a law so we can't have people camping in our parks in front of neighborhoods and businesses. We need to find places where people can go. I have some ideas as far as underutilized vacant city state land. One site is some land behind Cal Expo, not in Cal Expo, which a couple years ago, the governor signed a law allocating this lot for potential homelessness and tiny homes. We recently bought some land. The city bought the south part of Sacramento, 100 acres, which we should think about that. We have a few vacant city corp yards where, you know, the trash folks, park their trucks or resort waste in the city. One's a former county site, two are city ones that are basically half empty. So we need to focus on places where we can send people where they can go. I also want to make clear that I vehemently oppose this idea using city parks. Any park is a bad idea, whether 1,000 people go to that park a day or 10 people go to that park a day. You know, parks are places for our community, and we shouldn't use our city parks for homeless sites.
Well, to be fair with candidate Dr. Flo, she said that these are not going to be parks that people are using. These are vacant lots.
Well, I've been on, unfortunately, revisionist history. I've been in multiple forums and I've read the words and I see the proposal and the voters have said, I've seen it too, where it says we want that my opponent wants to utilize city parks, underutilized city parks. And, you know, I beg the question, which ones? You know, which parks would you want to utilize for a homeless camp? But more importantly, that's a distraction. There are other sites that we need to focus on. We're getting more state money, just announced this week that we're getting an infusion of state money to clear encampments, push people to more proper locations where there's services, healthcare, wraparound opportunities to have people get a driver's license, hopefully get gainful employment. So,
well, sorry to interrupt, but I want to really hone in on what sites. You mentioned Behind Cal Expo, you were an advocate of Measure O. Both of these plans and approved measures have encountered their barriers. Right. They have with Cal Expo. It came up. It was voted down by the Cal Expo board. Measure O hasn't worked out as intended. Why don't you think these ideas have worked out as intended?
Well, first of all, Cal Expo has never had a proposal there from the city. There was never a vote or any actual opportunity to present something. I still think it's, first of all, there's no perfect location for a homeless camp, which is why being in parks is a terrible idea. Even the Camp Resolution was a quasi-toxic location. So there are a few spots. We have one on Roseville Road. We have some that the county and city have opened up recently. So I think we could expand upon those and looking at other sites which are appropriate. So, you know, I have a list of five or so sites that were on the Mayor and Council's siting plan a couple years ago for potential locations. And we need to work together. More importantly, you know, the county gets 10 times more money roughly than the city to tackle homelessness, especially on issues like behavioral health and addiction services. We need to do a much better job partnering with the county as we answer the call. I've called for, you know, a regional JPA on these issues where county supervisors, city council members, cities of Elk Grove and Rancho Cordova, we work on these things together. You know, we have joint JPAs that work on air quality, regional transit, our wastewater, library, even the cable TV channels. But we don't work and coordinate on the most important issue facing our community, homelessness. We can do better, and that's one thing that I'll bring to the mayor's office on day one.
So while we build this up, you talked about the importance of following a recent Supreme Court decision that empowered cities to clear homeless encampments. As you know, just present day, our shelters are way oversubscribed. There are typically about 2,500 people on a wait list for the city's 1,300 shelter beds. If we're regularly clearing encampments, are we just displacing people only to have them set up a tent across the street, down the block, or across town?
Well, the law is the law now, and the Supreme Court has validated that. And I think it's really important because think about it, too. We have jurisdictions around us, Elk Grove, the County of Sacramento, Rancho, West Sacramento. If they're enforcing the law as far as no encampments, and we're lax on that, more people will come to Sacramento. We'll become a magnet. So we need to make sure we enforce the law. But, you know, secondly, I concur with Dr. Kofra on this issue. We need to tell people where they can go. I think we need to go to people with a piece of paper and say, hey, you can't camp here at this park in front of this business. Here are multiple locations that have openings today. Sometimes people don't want to go. I think when we offer a place for someone to go who is homeless in our community, there needs to be an obligation that that person takes that spot that's reserved for them.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Sacramento mayoral candidate, Assemblymember Kevin McCarty. So as an outgoing city council member, you opposed a key piece of the deal that created the Golden One Center, voting no on the public subsidy for the arena. Do you look back on your vote differently now, given the economic and cultural impact of the downtown arena?
No, I think I always wanted to focus on two things. One, you know, being a pro sports guy, I love the Kings. I'm a former Kings season ticket holder. I've been to concerts and games in the last few years. So you can support the arena and what it's brought to the downtown dying mall, but also question the finances. And this is very key going forward because we may have a proposal for the rail yards. Heck, there may even be an idea to keep the A's in Sacramento. So 13 years ago, during this debate for the arena, I just thought it was too rich of a deal and didn't protect the taxpayers. And I went back and looked at the vote in my speech that night, and I asked one question. Should the city of Sacramento or the Kings be the backstop if the revenues don't pencil out? In other words, we have these grand projections. If it didn't work out, like when an individual co-signs for their kid to buy a car, you know, who should pay if it doesn't pencil out? And at the time, they said, oh, don't worry, it's all going to work out. If it doesn't pencil out, you know, it's never going to happen. It'll never be an impact on the general fund. But I said, okay, well, let's sign it that the city will never be impacted. Well, sure enough, now we're paying roughly $4 million a year out of the general fund that would go to police, parks, fire services that are now going to pay for the debt service to this bond. So I didn't think it protected the taxpayers, and I stand by my decision. But more importantly, we need the arena to succeed today. It's currently in the core of Sacramento. And more importantly, as I said, this could come up in the future. And if ever I work on a joint public-private partnership, I want to make sure that we always protect the taxpayer and the best interest for the city of Sacramento.
So what happens if we don't get that next, say, soccer arena because the mayor convinces a majority of the council that the public subsidy is a bad idea? In that scenario, I mean, how are you going to stand by this decision on where you draw the line?
Well, I think you cut a deal which does protect the city of Sacramento. 3 years ago, maybe it's now six now, the mayor at the time, Steinberg, asked me to come endorse a subsidy proposal for the soccer stadium and the rail yards. And people said, wow, Kevin, you're here for this one. You didn't support the other one a few years ago for the arena downtown, because that one did have proper protections for the general fund, for the taxpayers. So I don't think it's a black and white issue. I'm open to these public-private partnerships, but I'm always going to be focused on the taxpayer, the residents of the city of Sacramento, because it needs to pencil out for us at the end of the day.
Let's talk about policing. In 2019, you went up against law enforcement in co-authoring a law to ensure police only used deadly force when necessary, not as objectively reasonable. Law enforcement groups did lift their opposition after the bill was amended. Your mayoral campaign is backed by the Sacramento Police Officers Association. Do you support any further police accountability measures that are not favored by law enforcement?
You know, I reached out and supported police accountability measures after the summer of George Floyd, after the death of Stephon Clark here in Sacramento. And those were tough decisions. And I was glad at the end of the day that we're bipartisan and the police endorsed them. But I also do realize we need to publicly fund our police department at adequate levels. I think back when I was on the city council 15 years ago, we had 67,000 fewer people in the city of Sacramento, and 49 more police officers. So we are underfunded, and I think it is an issue to make sure we can properly patrol the city and make sure we enhance our public safety. So I do support and I will implement these laws to use de-escalation, less deadly force with unarmed individuals, and accountability when people cross the line. I worked on this measure with then Attorney General and our future President Kamala Harris to make sure that police investigations are done independently, not by the local DA, because we want to make sure we focus on accountability and transparency in these issues. So I will lean in and support that. But conversely, I do support fully funding our police department and don't support efforts to take money away from the police budget.
And just for the record, you would lean in and support police accountability and transparency measures, even if law enforcement did not agree with it.
100%.
Sacramento has a council manager form of city government, where the city manager, an unelected position, has remarkable power in implementing all city policies, overseeing departments, and proposing the annual budget. Would you make any changes to how the city manager is managed or held accountable?
Well, I don't support what the prior ideas to change this, which is having a strong mayor form of government. That's not a panacea to solve our problems. I look at the strong mayor examples in California. Let's give you three. City of San Francisco, City of Oakland, City of San Jose. City of San Francisco has a big homelessness problem. City of Oakland, high crime problems. They have strong mayor cities. The City of San Jose has a city manager form of government, doesn't have a strong mayor, and they've done tremendous work on tiny homes, homelessness response, building more housing. So it's not always the structure of it. It's the teamwork making it happen. I like how members of the community have a city council member they can go to and not having a mayor who puts the thumb on the scale. So I like the balanced approach. I can work with under it. And we haven't had examples of corruption and nepotism and so forth like you've seen in other cities with the big mayor type approach. I'm perfectly fine working in this current system with our city manager. I've actually worked with the city manager when I was a member of the city council. So I'm looking forward to stepping in and working in the current system and working together as a team with the council members and the city manager and our city staff to solve our problems.
Let's talk about housing. You're a landlord, right?
I am.
In 2019, the city adopted an ordinance to cap annual rent increases at 10%. Some want to ratchet down that number so that landlords can't raise the rent so high. Would you want to leave the city rent ordinance untouched or change it?
I co-wrote the state law, which mirrored the city law, which was the most aggressive law supporting tenants in decades, which limits rent increases at no more than 5% plus CPI. So you said 10%. It's probably going to be about 8% going forward with the inflation index every year. And also important in there is to make sure we don't have unfair evictions. You know, people were getting evicted just because and not for just cause. So I support the just cause eviction policy. So the city of Sacramento leaned forward and looked and supported this policy. I support it. I support reauthorizing it if it doesn't happen the next coming months when I marry after December the 10th. As far as going further, I think we struck a fair balance. We got a balance from the tenant rights groups and the industry, because if you go too far, if you have the New York, Santa Monica, Berkeley-style rent control in Sacramento, we won't build any more housing. And that'll be terrible for our efforts to have more housing at all income levels to meet the demands.
So I talked to Dr. Flo about housing stock, and specifically, do we need more market rate housing? What is your plan for expanding housing stock, and where does market rate fit into that plan?
We need all kinds of housing. You know, 80% of low-income individuals live in market rate housing. We need to build more market rate housing for everybody. We also need to build way more affordable housing. So I have some ideas on that, three ideas. One, I want to keep converting state buildings that are shuttered downtown because of what's happening with remote work and new headquarters out on Richards Boulevard.
I just want to jump in this real quick because that does cost a lot of money, right? I mean, you're taking a state agency, which is, you know, a workplace, and converting it into housing. And that's going to need a big subsidy, whether coming from the state, which is looking at multi-year deficits, or the city, which is also looking at multi-year deficits.
I don't think so. It's the opposite, because some of these are going to be surplus land, which they don't need. And right now, these lots downtown pay zero property taxes. So I'm okay giving them away for free to developers. So they're going to go on the tax rolls, build more needed housing, and bring in revenue to the city of Sacramento so we can hire more police officers, hire more firefighters, hire more parks workers. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity. I'm currently in my day job working with the administration doing just this. It's a tremendous opportunity to really address multiple issues on the core of Sacramento. I also realized that when we lost redevelopment 14 years ago, we lost an opportunity to subsidize the build out of more affordable housing for students, seniors, people with disabilities. I want to go back to the voters. I know something that Mayor Steinberg talked about. Some Bay Area cities are looking at this to have a dedicated revenue source to build and subsidize more affordable housing in Sacramento. And lastly, on housing, we need to make it easier for people to get building permits. I'm going on my day one as mayor, going to form a blue ribbon commission to streamline the building department to make it easier for people to build housing in Sacramento.
Our last question. You've spent two decades as an elected official in Sacramento. Some members of the public are clamoring for new people, new voices, new energy. What would you like those people to know about you?
I'm going to be a mayor for everybody, for the whole city of Sacramento, whether or not you voted for me or not. But I think most importantly, people want somebody who's going to be effective. I'm a problem solver, whether that's bringing more youth programs to our neighborhoods who didn't have a baseball program, or that's writing innovative gun laws with Republicans and Democrats to solve the epidemic of gun violence. I'm always about solving problems, from big problems to little problems. And that's what I'll do, roll up my sleeves, working with others, business and labor and our elected leadership to tackle problems and deliver for the people of Sacramento. And that's what I pledge to do. That's been my record. And I want to do so for the next generation. I think about my teen girls right now and what they need for the next generation from Sacramento. And that's why I'm signing up for this job.
Assemblymember McCarty, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Assemblymember Kevin McCarty has represented Sacramento in the state legislature since 2014, and he's running for Sacramento mayor. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.